Thank you, Wendy. Choir and orchestra. The Bible says in John 14:27, Jesus said, I will give you peace. Not as the world gives you, do I give you, but my peace. Don't be afraid, neither let your heart be troubled. I'm telling you, Jesus will give you a peace that will calm your storm. Amen? Many of us have been through storms or in a storm or headed for a storm. But I've got good news today. The answer is Jesus. He'll calm your storm. He'll calm you in the storm. Amen? He doesn't take the storms away, but he does calm the heart in the midst of the storm. Thank you for being here this morning. I don't want to say again, thank you to all of our missionaries. What an exciting week we have here at Lindsay Lane. I want to say again, thank you to all of our young people for DNOW this week. Thank you for your commitment to be here this week, to be discipled and learn how to disciple others. That's what it's all about. That's what these missionaries are doing. The Bible says, go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples. We need to be discipled and we need to disciple others. That's why we're here this morning. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the opportunity all of us have right here in Jerusalem, around the world, to make disciples. That's what we're about, making disciples for the kingdom of God. When we go to heaven, we want to take somebody with us. Amen? We want to take somebody with us, and I'm glad that you're doing that. So thank you, missionaries, for making the effort to be here this morning. You're our honored guests. You're our heroes in the faith, whether you've come from across town or across the country, amen, or across the world. We salute you this morning. We celebrate what God's doing. I want to say a special thank you, while I can, to all of our GIC team for your leadership, for all of you who are host homes this week, for all of you who are involved and engaged in what God's doing right here at our church this week and helping our missionaries. So thank you so much. We have the Acts 1:8 challenge in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that God has blessed us not only here in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, but around the world. We're involved in what God's doing. Thank God for missions. Amen? Thank God for missions. Nina Gunner said this. Listen to this quote. If you take missions out of the Bible, you won't have anything left but the covers. That's a good word. Amen? You remove missions, you don't even really have a God-anointed, God-proclaimed church that's doing the Great Commission. It's about mission. It's about go ye therefore and make disciples. A missionary to India and Persia, Henry Martin, said this. Listen to this quote. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, Jesus, the more intensely missionary we become. By the way, I found that out in my own life. The closer I get to Jesus, the more missional I become. The more I begin to see the worldview, the big picture. Many times we're caught up in our little comfort zone, in our little circle. There's a big world out there. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. And so if you're going to be missional, you got to be praying. You got to go. You got to spend. And you got to sacrifice because He sacrificed for us. And so in turn, we get to worship Him. We get to honor Him. We get to serve Him. And we get to serve others in the midst. So I'm pumped this morning. I really am. I'm excited about what God's doing in the life of our church, but also in the life of the world. I know there's a lot of pessimists out there, and we see a lot of perils in our nation and around the world today, but I'm telling you, there's still hope. As long as there's Christ, there's hope. And so we go and we serve. So our desire here, missionaries, we want you to know this. Our desire this week is to pray for you, but to love on you and to encourage you. I pray you'll leave this facility, you'll leave our church, us, and you'll be encouraged this week. That's our goal, to encourage you, to pray for you, to serve alongside of you right here in our Jerusalem, but also to honor you as well. I know you've heard the song Home on the Range for the deer and the antelope play. Seldom is heard a discouraging word. There were two buffaloes, they were talking to one another, and all of a sudden a cowboy rides up and he looks at two buffaloes and said, you guys are just pitiful. Your buffaloes are two of the ugliest creatures on God's green earth. Look at your beady eyes, the fur is all matted up, and look at that grotesque hump on your back. I ought to take my buffalo gun out and just shoot both of you right here. And he rode off. And the two buffaloes looked at one another, one of them said, I believe we just heard a discouraging word. Amen. So I hope that you're not discouraged this week. I hope that you're encouraged. We're here to encourage you, and I want you to be encouraged this week, and I thank God for you. You're making a difference. You really are. Don't ever think you're not making a difference, because you are. And I believe God's really shared in my heart this week the message I want to share with you entitled, The Power of One. The Power of One. William James said it this way. I love this quote. William James said, the best use of life is to be spent for it for something that will outlast it. We're to spend our lives while we have breath on this earth for something that will outlast our life. Amen. What legacy are we leaving? What heritage are we planting for others who come behind us? And so I want to share that with you today, the power of one. Someone said it well. Some people carve out a future while others just whittle. Some people carve out a future. They're involved in what God's doing while others are sitting around just whittling, waiting. And so I don't want to be a whittler. I want to be involved in what God's doing. I know you do as well. So I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge us as well today. The power of one. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. And I want you to think about the power of one. The power of one. Matthew 18, look in verse 11. This is red letter. This is Jesus speaking. Notice what the Messiah, the King of Kings, said. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think about it? He said. Listen to what he said. What do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, verily, verily, or surely, I say to you, he rejoices. He rejoices more over the sheep that was lost than over the 99 that did not even go astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should perish. Now keep that thought in your mind. Jesus said that, by the way. 100 sheep. The shepherd left the 99. But he went after one. It's only one sheep. We got 99 right here. Let's stay with them and guard them. It's only one little sheep. And the shepherd said, no, I'll leave these 99. I'll go find that one. Because Jesus died for that one. And I'm going to go after him. I'm going to go after her. Wherever, to the mountains, to the valleys, to the sea, wherever it is, I'm going after that one. Because usually the 99 inside the church, most of them already know Christ. But that one doesn't. He's lost. She's lost. And I'm going after him. See, we do right the opposite usually in the church, don't we? We stay inside the walls where it's comfortable and everybody's Christian and we like to praise and worship. I do too. But what about your neighbor, your friend? What about your coworker, your classmate? What about that one that's lost? Shouldn't we leave the confines of the comfort zone of the church to go out and win them to Christ? Shouldn't we have a burden, as Jesus said, leave the 99 and go after that one? We've gotten comfortable in America. We really have, hadn't we? We've really gotten comfortable. So I want to share that with you today. I think it'll help us to understand the parable that Jesus uses. And he said he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we need to catch that. Philip found Nathanael, didn't he? Brought him to Jesus. I think Billy Graham said it well. He once said this, Christ not only died for all, He died for each. Christ not only died for everyone, He died for you. Just for you. Just for me. Just for them. Just for each one. He died for us all. See, I read where 20% of believers will invite someone to church. 20% of believers will invite people to church. But only 2% will really tell them about Jesus. Invite them to Jesus. Invite them to come to Christ. Invite them to church to hear the gospel. Only 2%. There's 100%, but only 2. The other 98 won't. They stay close to the comfort zone. And so that 2%'s out there in the trenches. They're missionaries. They're people who have a burden for the lost, for that one that doesn't know Christ. And so they go out of the comfort zone and they share Christ with others. I'm telling you, when you understand this principle today, and I'm going to share it with you, it really resonated in my own heart as I prepared this message, how urgent it is for me to share Christ with others. Butch Gerald was teaching our Sunday school class this morning. He gave us an example of a young girl there on the Amazon River who, in a village, and the father was loaning their children out for prostitution on a daily basis, the young girls. One of the girls was 13 years old and she got saved. And she led her dad to Jesus and all of her family to Christ and led the whole village to Jesus. One person who somebody took up time and shared Jesus with her. One person, Wendy Mitchell, who you just saw sing right here. Wasn't it eloquent, her singing? Did you know she used to sing in nightclubs before she met Jesus? Somebody shared Jesus with her, and now God's using her to praise God, and we get to praise Him with her. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Awesome. One person. It only takes one. And by the way, we worship the one and only. God just sent one. His name was Jesus. He's made a difference in my life. You know, He's made a difference in yours. So you may say, well, it's only one. One can reach thousands. Case in point, Andrew brought his brother, Peter, to Jesus. His own brother. Come here, Jesus. We found the Messiah. He's only one person, and yet in one day he preached and 3,000 got saved. One day, one man preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? To think about one person, how God could use only you and me to reach multitudes. It's an awesome concept that we've known for years, but we've never really thought about it. That's why Jesus said, think about it. Think about this with a shepherd leave 99, go to one. Think about it. So I want you to think about it this morning. And I want to help us with that. You know, I've read this, you've read this. I want to share it with you again. In 1885, a Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball shared Jesus Christ with one, a shoe clerk. His name was D.L. Moody. That same D.L. Moody, who would later become an evangelist, led thousands, I mean thousands upon thousands, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was during one of D.L. Moody's meetings that awakened evangelistic zeal in the heart of another man by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer became the pastor of a small church in New England. Meyer, while preaching on a college campus, won a student named Wilbur Chapman to Christ. In turn, Wilbur Chapman engaged himself in the YMCA. He employed a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. He hired him to help with evangelistic meetings. Sunday held a series of meetings in Charlotte, North Carolina, in that area, and a group of local men were so enthused by that meeting and by Billy Sunday's preaching, they planned another campaign. So later they brought back another preacher by the name of Mordecai Ham to town. It was during one of those meetings that a young man by the name of Billy Graham yielded his life to Christ and then answered a call to preach. Since then, God has used Billy Graham, to win millions upon millions to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not bad for one man sharing Jesus with a shoe clerk. Amen? Do you see how it works? Who knows what that person's going to do and become when you share Christ with them? Amen. Who knows? God knows. And God has a plan. Amen? I thought that was just so awesome. You may not see it. You may not feel it. But you're making a difference. You're investing in kingdom work when you win people to Jesus. And you're enlarging heaven, by the way. So, my dear friend, Dr. Johnny Hunt, you know him, he's preached here before, he's my dear friend. When you listen to his testimony, he had a guy in town in Wilmington, North Carolina by the name of N.W. Pridgett. He owned the hardware store, and Johnny Hunt was in there, a dropout at 16. You know his story? And N.W. Pridgett invited him to church. Said, Johnny, won't you come down to the church? And God got a hold of Johnny Hunt's heart, and he went to church. And God used him now to preach to thousands every week. And on his schedule, he's preaching to thousands upon thousands. One man in a hardware store said, would you come to church with me? Don't you want to know about Jesus? And God's used Johnny Hunt to change, I'm telling you, a lot of people's life personally as a witness, and then through the preaching and ministry that God's afforded him. It's really awesome. It's one person telling another person to come to Jesus Christ. I thought about that in my own life. I was a member of a local Baptist church here in town, and I grew up in the church, and then I drifted away from God, got away from Him. And in my church, nobody really visited me. I lived a mile within the church, and no one came and said, we miss you. You're a member of our church. Would you come to church? Nobody except the young pastor by the name of Carl Johnson. When he took over, he started looking at the roll, and he came to my trailer. I was a compulsive gambler at the time. He had the audacity to knock on my door and ask me to come to church. And he asked me if I was a Christian. And I said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. That is the pat answer, isn't it? And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, well, are you living it? Uh-oh. I said, no, I'm not. He said, can I come in and pray with you? I got so mad, but I said, yes, come on in. And he prayed with me. And it was 3 months later, God got a hold of my heart, brought me to my knees, but I never got over that visit. I never got over Carl Johnson coming to see me. And God's using me now in this church to preach the gospel to many people. Do you see the power of one? Do you see what Jesus is trying to teach us when he said, the shepherd shall leave 99 and go after that one sheep? It's a process of multiplication. It's one beggar telling another beggar what her fine bread. It's called evangelism. It's called Great Commission. It's called making disciples. And so on and on we could go. And God's used me personally to help win others in our church. Jeff Bowman had the privilege to leading Jeff to Christ. Mark Dornay, Jeff was our first. He came to Lindsay Lane after that. Later on came our youth pastor. He was the first youth pastor here at Lindsay Lane, him and Miss Dina. And then Mark Dornay had the privilege to invest in Mark Dornay's life, and he's going to be teaching Exchange Life here in our church. And God's greatly blessed me. Mike Adams headed up our Carpenters for Christ, was one of our deacons. Randy Brown, who is my next door neighbor, God used me in his life as well, among others. And now Randy's on our staff. Eddie McLemore, who's one of our deacons now, God used me to invest in his life. And now Eddie's heading up our Wayne Peters ministry. Do you understand how it works? When we have the audacity to ask somebody, do you know Christ? Do you want to know Him? God invests in that life. And God's allowed you and I to have a small part of kingdom work. Winning people to Christ, sharing Jesus. God will do the rest. All we need to do is invest. Amen? And let God work. Just let Him work. And I thank God today as a testimony to all these missionaries. Now, we just have a small group here that we're praying for and investing in. But don't you think about this with me. Think about it with me. When they go back to their respective countries and ministries here in Jerusalem and around the world, can you imagine all the lives that's being touched by these missionaries? All the lives. When you get to heaven, you'll see them. You'll get to meet them. They'll come up and say, thank you for investing. Thank you for sending. Thank you for praying. Thank you for coming. Thank you for Jesus. And you'll say, I never even knew. I didn't even know you. Thank God that I got out of my comfort zone. And I went. I invested. I prayed. And God used it. The power of one. It's an awesome concept. It's an awesome thing when you really grasp your hands around the Great Commission and what God wants to do in your life and my life to share Him with others so we can take them to heaven with us and so they won't have to go to hell. I'm telling you, church, when you really think about the Bible, as simplistic as it is, it's so profound and so powerful. If we'll only obey it, God wants to use it. So what I want to do now is give you a biblical illustration of what I've just said, and I'll be quick. So turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I want you to see it in the Bible again. Jesus already showed us in a parable, but I want you to see real life, if you will, how Jesus uses people to reach others. All right? So won't you turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 8 and look in verse number 4. Acts chapter 8. And I want you to look in verse 4, what was happening. Now, you know the story. The disciples were all in Jerusalem. Jesus said, stay there till the Holy Spirit comes. And then they were scattered. Under Saul's persecution, they began to scatter out. And Jesus uses that. Today we're the church gathered. We need to be the church scattered. And so they were scattered by persecution, but God was using that. He was in it. He was in the storm, using them to scatter them out, to share the gospel. Sometimes God has to get in there and say, I'm going to move you out. And He'll do it. And don't you want to notice what happened? Look in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirit with crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy down there in Samaria. Now, get the picture. I want you to see this. Philip, the deacon. This is a deacon, by the way. Now, God's using him. He's anointed him evidently with the power of the Holy Spirit to heal people, and a crowd's gathering around, and all the people are coming to hear Philip preach the gospel, and there's a great revival going on in Samaria. And Philip's excited, he's passionate, he's preaching the stars down, and God's all over him, and people everywhere are coming, the multitudes are coming. But then something happens. God says, Philip, the Holy Spirit comes to Philip and said, Philip, I want you to go to the desert, down there in Gaza. I want you to go down there and start preaching. He said, oh, what'd you say, Lord? Leave this revival. People are getting saved. People coming from everywhere. Lord, you're using me right here. Why do you want me to go to Gaza? Did you say a desert? Oh, yeah. I want you to leave this place, and I want you to go to the desert. Now, I'm paraphrasing some of that. You understand, right? But Philip went to the desert. For what? Why would God pull him out of Samaria in revival setting with multitudes and put him down in Gaza in the desert? Now, why would God do that? Because there's one person down there that God wants Philip to share Jesus with. One person. Just one? One. That's God. Don't forget it. Well, I want to be a preacher, preach with a big church. He may have you doing something else for one or two. Missionaries, you get discouraged, don't you, when a lot of people don't respond and all of that? But maybe one will. Just one. God may have you in Timbuktu Baptist Church. For one person. One. One. I want you to see this. I want you to see what happened. So Philip goes down there, and look at me in Acts chapter 8. Now look over in verse 26. Here it is. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, go down to the south along the road which leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. So he arose and went. Left his grandchildren behind. His family. Publix. Walmart. Cracker Barrel. He left it all. But he went. And there's a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. By the way, listen to this. Of great authority. Under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He'd been to church in Jerusalem. And look in verse number 28. He was returning and sitting in the chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the Bible. He'd been to church, heard a good message. And so he's reading the Bible. So what's happening here? So God says, I got a plan. Philip, you go from Samaria to Gaza. Got somebody I want you to meet. I want you to share Christ with. Just one. There's only one. And so he goes. He goes. And see, if you and I are going to fulfill the great commission to go and make disciples, we must have a burning desire and a heart for lost people. Amen. You got to have a heart for the lost people. You got to see them lost. You got to see them lost. And they'll come to Christ one at a time. Edwin Lawler said this. I love this quote. If God's love is for anybody, anywhere, it's for everybody, everywhere. Amen? God's love reaches everywhere. David Livingston put it well. God had an only son and he made him a missionary. Wow. God only had one son, but he made him a missionary, an evangelist, Messiah. God loves us. And so God sent Jesus. Now think about this with me. God sent Jesus to us. You mean God knows Dusty McLemore's name? Yes. God knows Jennifer Brown's name? Yes. He knows where she lives. He reads our mail. He knows us. Every head that I have left, he knows it. And so Jesus came for me. Well, I heard about this Jesus. He preached to multitudes and they followed him and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. He was a personal Christ. He knows you. Remember Matthew, the tax collector? He knew him. By the way, he went and ate with him. Remember Zacchaeus, the Pharisee? Come out of that tree, young man. I'm coming to your house today. One person. He took it seriously. He took upon himself to come and converse, communicate with Zacchaeus and the tax collector. Had dialogue with Peter personally and others. Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, he had time for her. So you got to have time for folk. He had time for them. And he did it one-on-one. He preached to the multitudes. Oh, yes. But he also went one-on-one. Rich young ruler. He wouldn't receive him, but Jesus went to him. Came to Jesus even. And so, like Jesus, Philip was obedient. And you and I must be obedient to leave the crowds for one soul. We must be willing to leave our temples and get in the trenches. That's what these guys have done and are doing. They've left the temple. And they went out into the trenches. And that's what the Great Commission's all about. Go. Half of God, isn't it? G-O, go. And make disciples. And so they're going, and we need to go as well. Maybe not to Africa. That may be not where God called you. He called Peter Mawila there. He's already there. And Joe and Tammy Hayden's over in Africa. And other missionaries. You may not go to Africa, but you can go across the street. You can go to work. You can go to play. They're everywhere. There's fish to be caught everywhere. And so God's given us that great commission. Now, let me give you these things I want you to see as I close. And I want you to see this thing with Philip. I'm telling you, this is an awesome thing with me. Now, number one, we must yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm a preacher. I got to have 3 points, and I got them, all right? So number one, we must yield, first of all, to the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 and 27 of chapter 8 of Acts. What did Philip do? He yielded to the Holy Spirit. He could have said, well, let Peter go, or let one of these other deacons go. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go down there. I'm up here in Samaria. Let Nathaniel go. You know, let one of these other guys go. They're not doing nothing anyway. Man, look at what I'm doing. He didn't do that. He yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. When God said go, he went. Amen. And he yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Philip was guilty of DUI. Directed under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He really was. So God's leading him. He was obedient. And he went to Gaza. He heard the call of a missionary, if you will. And he went. By the way, we're all missionaries. Amen. We're all missionaries. We're all on mission, aren't we? So we're all, in essence, missionaries. And God said, you go and I'll empower you. Acts 1:8. Listen, you shall receive power when what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. By the way, that includes a desert place in Gaza. That includes a slum in India. That includes a jungle in Brazil. That also includes a squatter camp in Zambia. That includes Hispanic over across town. Everywhere, he says, go and make disciples. But yield to the Holy Spirit. Let me guide you. Let me lead you. And we'll go together. And I thank God for that. He'll even lead you to South Africa down in Livingston, where for 20 miles you drive on a road. It's like riding a roller coaster at Six Flags. I'm telling you, it really is. Joe and Tammy Hayden went down there with them, and we got in the Jeep. I thought Joe was under DUI. I really did. I mean, it wasn't the Holy Spirit at the time, I thought. But anyway, he was driving, dodging these potholes, and we was just, me and Eric back there bouncing all over the place. For about 20 miles, it seemed like, and he kept doing that. But they went from Decatur, Alabama. They're over there sacrificing as we drive down the four-lane highway and complain because there's a red light. Amen. I'm confessing, all right? I'm confessing. I hate red lights. And I pray for people in my lane, the left lane, to get out of the way. But anyway, I'm praying about that. God's merciful. Full of grace. And so Philip went under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you get in tune with, by the way, I said it earlier, the closer you get to Jesus, the more missional you'll become. Because he was a missionary. And so you get in tune with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we listen and we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. It's an awesome thing. Henry Blackaby put it this way. In his experience in God. You remember that? He said this. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purpose, and his ways. He's revealing himself to us through the Spirit of God, just like he did Philip. And so we go. But if we're not careful, we get caught up in self. We get caught up in our programs, our policies here at the church. We'll get caught up in all this stuff. We're doing ministry. Oh, yeah, we're doing ministry. But are we really fulfilling the Great Commission as we do it? And so Philip yielded to the Lord. And by the way, sometimes God won't make sense. And all the missionaries said, amen. Sometimes God just won't make sense. You want me to go where? Brazil? Snakes? Alligators? You want me to go where? Mike and Aldrin, Vapor's ministry, go all over to slum areas where there's people starving literally to death. In that ministry, they minister to people. And I have to say, they're a young couple. We're still young. And Jesus said, time is ticking. Amen? Time's ticking. When you gonna go? And so forth. And number two, we must yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we must preach the Word of God. Amen. Notice what Philip did. Look in our text again. I want you to notice verse 29. Here's the Spirit. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over there and overtake that chariot. By the way, you know God will help you. What am I going to say? He'll be your mouthpiece. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about where you're going to live, what you're going to eat. He'll provide all of that. He just said, go. Philip went. He said, go over there and take that chariot. So Philip ran to him. Well, Philip's on fire, isn't he? He ran to the eunuch and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? Don't you get this? He's reading the Bible, and Philip said, you understand what you're reading? He said, well, how can I unless somebody tells me? Sunday school teacher, preacher, friend. How can I unless somebody helps me? And so Philip said, okay, well, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. That's what he was reading, by the way. And he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? Verse 31. And he asked Philip, won't you come up here and sit with me? I like that. Come on up here. Come on over for dinner. I need to know more about Jesus. Come on over. And so he went up there. And then verse 32, he's reading in Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. He's led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He opened not his mouth. He was humiliation. His justice was taken away. And he who declared his generation, for his life is taken from him. And in verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I want to ask you a question. Philip, let me ask you this question. Who's the prophet Isaiah speaking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else to come later? Oh, my word, that's red meat. That's red meat to a hungry dog. Let me tell you about this other fellow he's talking about. Isaiah's not talking about himself. He's talking about the Messiah who's coming. And he shared Jesus with him. He took him where he was. He didn't say, well, you got to be here 3 weeks, join the church, and then we'll talk to you. Now, you got to go through this class, and we'll talk to you. He didn't say that. He took him where he was, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and he led him to Jesus. Led him to Jesus. He preached the Word of God. I'm about to have a spell. Are y'all listening? Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, took him where he was, he preached Jesus to him. Some of us won't even do that.
Well, what denomination are you? Where are you from anyway? You don't look like me. You don't smell like me. What do you mean? Genuine witness to him? He's not from my neighborhood. I didn't bring you down here to Gaza to talk about politics or football. Hello. I brought you down here to share Jesus. Period. Period. And Philip's all about it. Boy, he's all about it, isn't he? He's preaching the word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of that hope that's in you. 2 Timothy 2:15, this is our WANA verse. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. You can't give out what you're not taking in. Are you studying? Are you reading God's word? Are you ready to share it with somebody? Philip did, and he was. And this eunuch had been to church, and he didn't know what he was reading. Philip helped him with the truth of God's word. He didn't talk to him about his opinion. He didn't share with the eunuch about his speculation. He didn't give him Ann Landers. He didn't give him USA Today. He gave him the book. He gave him truth, and the truth will set you free. He preached the truth to this man. He started sharing with him in verse 34 and verse 35. He began to preach Jesus with this man. I want you to notice this. Listen very carefully. Philip didn't ask the eunuch if he was the elect. Philip didn't ask him if he was pre-trib, post-trib, or amillennial. He didn't ask him any of that stuff. I don't think he was interested in whether he sang hymns or sang praise courses. I don't think they talked about that. I don't think they talked about going to a traditional service or a contemporary service. I don't think he cared if this old boy wore a suit or an Ethiopian polo shirt. He didn't talk about all that stuff. He got right to the heart of the gospel. Jesus. He preached Jesus. Period. And we get so caught up in the non-essentials, while people are dying and going to hell. And we're caught up in our denominationalism, our racism, our prejudices. while people around us are literally dying and yearning for the gospel. God help us. God forgive us. Number three, we must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. We must preach the Word of God. And number three, we must become witnesses of God. If you're not already, you ought to be. By the way, if you're not witnessing, you're backsliding. You really are on the Great Commission. All of us, we are. So look in verse 34 and 35 and following. He preached Jesus to him, didn't he? Now what happened? As they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, here's some water. What hindered me from being baptized? I love this. By the way, this is theology he's about to give this old boy. Now, he could have been baptized and been done, and then he would think baptism saved him. Why do you want to be baptized? You probably heard about it at the church. You need to be baptized. And by the way, you do. It's a symbol. Like my wedding band tells you I'm married, the baptismal pool tells us we've been saved. It's a testimony of what's already happened inside of us. It's an outward symbol of what's already transpired within my heart. This wedding band is an outward symbol that tells you that I'm married to Patsy Joe Holland McLemore. It doesn't make me married, but it tells you that I am married, right? And so he said, well, why can't I be baptized? He said, well, you can be if. And it's a big if. You can be baptized, yeah, if. Look at it, verse 37. If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And so he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's all Philip needed to hear. Amen. Oh, he couldn't wait. And then he commanded the chariot to stop. Whoa, Nellie. Whoa, Butch. Whoa, Dusty. Stop the chariot. Stop the music. Smell the roses. Jesus is here. The captain commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, immersion. They went down into the water, and he baptized him. Isn't that awesome? Notice what's happening here. He's becoming a witness of God. He shared Jesus with him. Somebody said, I heard Adrian Rogers say this. I was involved in one of Adrian Rogers' classes that he had over at Bellevue, and I heard him say this with his own mouth. Somebody asked him, Adrian, if you had your ministry to do over again, what would you change? And here's what the great Adrian Rogers, who's in heaven now, here's what he said. I'd make it more simple. I'd preach more simple because the gospel is simplistic. That's why children can be saved, by the way. We've complicated things, haven't we? And Adrian Rogers said, I'd make it more simpler. And I heard that somebody who eulogized Adrian Rogers at Adrian Rogers' funeral said this. They said, I've never seen a man who named the name of Jesus while he was preaching more than Adrian Rogers did. And I've heard him preach several times. Steve, you've heard him several times. Every time he preached, he talked about Jesus. It's like little Johnny. Little Johnny went to church and went to his first Sunday school class, and he got home. His mom said, well, what did Sunday school teacher say? What's her name? He said, I don't know her name, but it must be Jesus' grandmother. That's all that woman talked about. That's all that lady talked about was Jesus. Don't you like grandmothers like that? Grandpappies? Don't you like parents like that? Now repent, say yes, all right. Don't you like children? Talk about Jesus. See, they're trying to stifle that here in America. It's an indictment against our God. But I'm telling you, we need to speak the name of Jesus. We need to preach Him, sing Him, share Him, teach Him, pray Him. Jesus. D.L. Moody was asked a man about his faith. And the man replied, it's none of your business. And to which D.L. Moody said, oh yes, it is my business. And the man replied, then you must be D.L. Moody. That's all he talked about was Jesus. I think he had an 8th grade education, something like that. Unlearned. Boy, he had Jesus.
He had the Holy Spirit. See, God's not impressed with your education, your intellect, or where you work. He don't even need that. All He wants is you. He'll put the Holy Spirit within you as a Christian. He'll take you to places you never dreamed, to share with people you never understood. And God will do a great work. And one day in heaven, He'll walk up to you and say, "Thank you for coming to my town, to my street, to my house, to my church, to my country, to my nation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." I'm telling you, folks, it works. It really works. I'm living proof that it works. 2 Peter 3:9. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It's our job to believe that and go and share the gospel. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus saves. Amen? Now, verse 39, and I'm closing. Here it is. Verse 39. "Now, when it came out of the water, Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away." Got another job for you, brother. We don't know where he went then, but he tells there. But what happened? The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. On his way to heaven. And I got good... I really think that that eunuch went back and made one Kansas to the Lord, Queen. He was a great authority, remember? I bet he won a lot of people to Jesus, John, because his heart was on fire. He met a man who left the crowd and came to him and shared with one man. And he made a difference. And I believe in all Ethiopia because of one man named Philip. God will use you, folks. Oswald Smith said it this way. We talk of the second coming when half of the world hadn't heard about the first. There's people groups that's never heard of the first coming. And we're debating over the second coming. Carl Henry coined the phrase, and he said it well, "The gospel is only good news if they hear it in time." Amen. To me, the gospel is great news. But it's only good news if they hear it in time. Amen? So we got to share the good news. We got some missionaries here today who are doing exactly that. We're supporting them. We're praying for them. But don't ever miss this. You're a missionary too. Amen. Amen. You're a missionary too. Jesus made this statement. "The Father and I am one." God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and the Son are one. And when you have Christ in your life, you got all of them. Three in one inside of you. You got power to go, power to tell, power to share. God will empower you like He did Philip. I pray we'll all be Philips today. Wherever God leads us, we will follow. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for hearing our word today. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for the message today. I thank You, Lord, that our hearts have been stirred. But, Lord, it will be all in vain if we don't yield to You and listen to You, O Lord. Father, I know today that You've planted seeds and You're seed planting today. And I pray that all of us will be willing to share with just one. With just one. And, Father, I pray today for that one or two or three or four or many in this service today that doesn't know Christ. Lord, we want to give a public invitation because, Father, I believe that when the gospel goes forth, that You have a way of drawing people to You. No one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So, Father, I'm praying for the Spirit of God to draw people into a personal relationship with You. We can't do anything. We can't save anybody. But, Lord, we can preach, we can tell, we can pray, and we can go. And we've preached today, Lord, and I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would draw people to personal relationship with You. And Lord, I pray they won't be ashamed, won't be embarrassed, but we would just come and say, "I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life." And some want to come and may be a part of this fellowship here at Lindsay Lane. They may want to come today, and others may want to come and pray and just talk to someone or pray with someone, maybe in a storm. I pray Your will would be done. Lord, I pray Your blessings now, Lord, upon this invitation. Your will be done and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We're going to have a song of invitation. We're going to ask you to come if God's speaking to your heart. Surrender to Him right now as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender.
Church, let me just say thank you so much for praying for these services and for being here. And I pray that God has spoken into your heart. Maybe you don't want to come public today. That's okay. Call us. Let us know how we can minister to you. All you got to do is say, hey, I need to talk to someone. Just let us know how we can minister to you here at Lindsay Lane. I want you to be seated just for a moment. The missionary is going to be teaching the 11 o'clock Sunday school class just in a moment. And I want to share something with you just for a couple of things that God's doing, even in this service. John, you come and stand with me. This is John Fraser. Y'all know John. He's over our Just Hungry for Him ministry. God's already used him here at Lindsay Lane. But I knew this was coming, and you did too. God's spoken to him and Miss Amy, and they want to be called to the mission field. They just want God to take them wherever God chooses. He just really made it public to me today. He's already made it public to God that God's hands upon them. And God wants to use them, and God's using them. They want to be used of God, and they're willing to go wherever. Isn't that awesome? Wherever. I love you, brother. Miss Amy, I love you. Teresa, this is Teresa Smith. Her daughter's one of our missionaries that we raised up in our youth group, and her name's on the list here today, and this is her mom, and she just wants to thank the church. And she said, I want to just thank the church publicly. So, Teresa.
Like you said, my daughter's Mary Beth Broadwater. Many of y'all know her.
Hold just 1 second and get your mic. Is it on? There you go.
My daughter is Mary Beth Broadwater, and many of y'all know her. Many of y'all have taught her, the Bowmans, Martha Woodfin, Mary Lynn Dyer. There's so many people here I can recognize that made an influence and impact in Mary's life.
Amen.
Mary Beth is in Austria, and she's a missionary. And this church has sponsored her and has prayed for her for a very long time. And as a mother that don't get to see my child very often. In fact, when she comes home in September, it'll be 2 years. But it's not about me, and it's not about me being able to put my arms around her. Mm. It's about what God has done in her life.
Amen.
And what she's been able to do over there in Europe, and what she's going to continue to do. And I just have to say thank you as a mother,
Amen.
As a mother of someone that is leading others to Christ. Thank you for praying for my daughter, and thank you for being a big part of our life. God bless
Amen.
You.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your courage.
It's been
Amen. What a testimony. What a testimony from a mother. A lot of you have children and friends and brothers and sisters, neighbors, co-workers, all that on the mission field. You don't get to see them. But let me tell you this. You'll get to spend eternity with them in heaven. A life forever, ever, 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 and ever. Amen? So this is only a small window here. So just remember that. You'll spend a lifetime forever and ever with those who know Jesus Christ. Brother Eric, why don't you come? Thank you so much again for being here, Eric.
Wow. God is so faithful, isn't he? What a glorious time we've had. Thank you, Pastor, for the word. That is the best evangelism message, I believe, I've ever heard. Thank you so much. We're going to dismiss our missionaries so they can go out to their tables. So if y'all would rise and go out, please, and please go out and meet them. They've gone a lot of trouble to bring things and prepare things, so please go by and get to know them. Some will be going to Sunday school to teach, so they may not be at their table. Come back tonight. You can meet them tonight. And on the back of your bulletin, I'd like to call your attention to a lot of events that are going on. Particularly, there's a mission trips table out here in the gathering space. If God's called you to go on mission, we got many trips. So the table is out here in the gathering space, and you might be of interest to see the little pillowcase dresses that the ladies have been sewing. There's about over 200 of them in the hallway here on my right. So you may want to go by there, but please come and see these missionaries and get to know them. All right, let's pray together and close as we stop and just be still and meditate. And ponder what you've spoken in our heart, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful that you've loved us first and you've saved us. We were just one person, but I'm thankful for the person that's shared Christ with me. And I thank you, Lord, that we get the opportunity to do that for someone else. So we take this to our heart. We pray against the enemy who would like to snatch this away or cover it over with something else today. Lord, just keep it in our hearts. May it dwell there and bring much fruit. Lord, we go with your blessing. We ask you to use the rest of this day for your glory in our lives and the rest of this week. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.